الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said that a person who sends 1,000 times durood or salutations or salawat upon me, he will not die till he sees his place in Jannah. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Salatum wa salaman alayka ya Sayyidi ya Rasulullah wa ala alika wa ashabika ya Habibullah. Okay, this is my topic, but at the same time, I would try to make you understand and appreciate the translation of Ala Hazrat. إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ First we will translate in Urdu, because Ala Hazrat's translation is in Urdu, not in English. We try from our side to translate it into English or into some other languages. But our work is not to translate Quran. We can't do that. We can only transfer the work from one language to another language. That too we can try and try to come closer. That's the best claim we can make. We can't claim that we have done 100% correct translation of Ala Hazrat. This is not our claim. Whatever work I've done, inshallah, would be printed very soon. And no way I would be able to make claim that I have done the translation in English exactly the way Ala Hazrat has done it in Urdu. Impossible. The only claim we can make is that we tried to get closer. And sometimes we successful, or otherwise later generations will come after us. And they will test their skills and they will write something and maybe they will come up with something better than what we have done. So this must continue. Now, Urdu translation is, Aur beshak tumhari khoob badi shaan ki hai. Who? Allah used the word who. You will not hear that word from Urdu speaking people anymore. That's matruk, it's left out. It's no more used. But that is the right word. I tried to find a word which is equal to this word. I could not find. This is the only word and the right word to explain what is supposed to be explained. Now who means adhering to ethical and moral principles. So now, it means that, oh beloved, you are adhering to ethical and moral principles are absolutely excellent. I mean, that's a long definition, so the one who is translating would not be able to put all these words. So we have to find few words, so it must be a translation it must not be a commentary. Because technically there is a difference between translation and a commentary. Translator's work is more difficult because he has to find fewer words to explain wider understanding. And the commentator's work is easy because he has got freedom to take 2 lines, 3 lines, 4 lines, 5 lines, as much as he feels that he can put into the explanation and the work is done, then he got the right, he got the choice. But translation work is always to pinpoint, very difficult. Sometimes you have to think over and over, hours just translating one ayat because it's not easy. So what Ala Hazrat has translated, I will translate that for you in English, and certainly or surely you, O beloved, are on an excellent standard of character. You are on an excellent standard of character. This is the English translation of the translation of Ala Hazrat, which I would claim that it's much closer than what has been translated in some other books. Now in this ayah kareema, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explains the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then he praises the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and praises in which way? That there is no other person whose character is matchable with your character, O beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Highest standard, highest standard. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is that personality who has been sent to complete the human character, to take it to its excellence. Actually, there is no stage, there is no degree. After Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taken the human character to a level, there is no other level. Therefore Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, inni bu'istu li utammima makarim al akhlaq, surely I have been sent to complete the incomplete characteristics or character of humanity. Every other Nabi had a task to build the human character. So they kept on building, they kept on building. All did justice to their responsibility. But then some areas of human character were still incomplete. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the last messenger, our master Hazrat Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to take the human character to such level and to such completion and excellence that there is no room for another development. Usse aage koi jagah hi nahi. Whenever something beautiful is said in Quran and in Hadith for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you think Ala Hazrat will keep quiet about it? Or he'll write a shair. That's his excellence. That his poetry is not any poet's poetry. His poetry is the explanation of Quran and Hadith in poetry form in a perfect way, cannot be challenged. So he says, تیرے خلق کو رب نے عظیم کہا, تیری خلق کو हक ने जमील किया, कोई तुझ सा हुआ ना होगा शहा, तेरे खालिक हुस्नो अदा की कसम। अब ये देखिए आला हजरत का कमाल, यानी इस शेर में आगे ही से ही ट्रांसलेट, तेरे खुल्क को रब ने अजीम कहा। अल्लाह सुबहान व तआला हैज सेड दैट ओ बिलवड योर कैरेक्टर इज ग्रेट। ट्रांसलेशन ऑफ कुरान करीम, इन्नका लअला खुलुकिन अजीम, तेरी खल्क को, फर्स्ट इज खुल्क देन इज खल्क, खुल्क मीन्स कैरेक्टर एंड खल्क मीन्स क्रिएशन, तेरी खल्क को रब ने जमील किया, एंड अल्लाह हैज मेड योर क्रिएशन द मोस्ट ब्यूटिफुल, ही गेव यू द बेस्ट character and he made you most beautiful. So those who saw Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with their naked eyes, they will tell you how beautiful Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. Did you not hear the ashar of Hazrat Hassan bin Sabit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who used to see Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the eyes of his head, with physical eyes? وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَ قَطُّ عَيْنِي وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءُ. ये वो लोग हैं जिन्होंने हजूर सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम को अपने सर की आंखों से देखा, they can perfectly describe the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. हम तो सुनते चले आ रहे हैं, we hear it, we read from the books. It's different when you hear it and you read from the books, and if you see it. Haqqul yaqeen, aynul yaqeen, all these are different levels of certainty. So these sahaba ikram are the people who have reached that level of certainty. He says, my eyes have never seen more beautiful than you, ya Rasulullah. Why? Because there is nobody who is more beautiful than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They seeing the beauty. Wa ajmalu minka lam talidin nisa'u. There is no woman that has ever given birth to a child who is more beautiful than you, ya Rasulullah. That mother does not exist. Teri khalq ko rab ne jameel kiya. Allah has made you beautiful. خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِّن كُلِّ عَيْبٍ. You have been created free from every defect. كُلِّ عَيْبٍ, not some defects, rather كُلِّ عَيْبٍ. So if anything in the world is called defect, if anything in the world is called a fault, if anything in the world is called a shortcoming, that has got no relationship with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Min kulli aib khuliqta mubarra'an min kulli aib, ka'annaka qad khuliqta kama tasha'u, as if you have been created with your own will, with your own desire. These are the people who have seen. This is what Ala Hazrat talks about. Teri khalq ko Rab ne jameel kiya. Agli baat suno. This is the aqeedah of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and stay firm on this aqeedah. Don't compromise on this aqeedah. Not because of any relationship, not because of any marriage, not because of any business partnership, not because of any piri muridi. This is the basic iman. You cannot compromise that based on anything. Koi tujh sa hua na hoga shaha. There is nobody who became like you and there is nobody who will become like you. बात खत्म हो गई, किस्सा है मुख्तसर, कोई लंबी चौड़ी डिबेट नहीं, न तुझसा हुआ न होगा शाह। अब अगले शेर पे मैं गौर कर रहा था, मैंने गौर किया तो मुझे मजा आ गया। तेरे खालिक के हुस्नो अदा की कसम, यहां दो चीजें बयान हुई है ना शेर में, खुल्क एंड खल्क। खुल्क इज कैरेक्टर, खल्क इज क्रिएशन। नाउ तेरे खालिक के हुस्न, आई टेक ओथ ऑफ द वन हु क्रिएटेड योर ब्यूटी, एंड देन ही पुट्स द वर्ड अदा। अदा इज परफॉर्मेंस, परफॉर्मेंस इज कैरेक्टर, बिकॉज व्हाट यू डू इट शोज व्हाट यू आर मेड ऑफ एंड व्हाट इज योर कैरेक्टर। सो देन ही सेज बाय द ओथ ऑफ द क्रिएटर ऑफ योर कैरेक्टर, तेरे खालिक के हुस्नो अदा की कसम। सो दैट इज द खुल्क एंड द कैरेक्टर दैट वी आर टॉकिंग अबाउट। नाउ व्हेन अल्लाह सुब्हानहू व तआला सेज दैट ओ बिलव्ड योर खुल्क इज ग्रेट, योर कैरेक्टर इज ग्रेट, देन हाउ ग्रेट इज दैट एंड इन विच सेंस वी मस्ट टेक दैट ग्रेटनेस, हाउ मस्ट वी अंडरस्टैंड What does that greatness mean? There are a lot of big things in the world. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about them. According to Allah, what is their size? What is their vastness? What is their hugeness? How big they are? You know, mountains? Mountains are big and they are symbol of strength. In many places in Quran Kareem, mountains are called anchors of the earth because they stabilize the earth. They are the nails on the earth. You know, if you have a wooden piece lying on the ground loose, it would never be stable. From one side if you stand, maybe the other side would be lifted. But imagine you put that piece of wood on the ground and put some nails in it. What happens then? It's stable. So, mountains are called in Quran Kareem nails of the earth. Anchors and nails. Anchors, they stabilize the ship, and nails will stabilize anything that you knock them in and they steady after that. So now the earth is steady because of mountains. And they are huge. You can't take a hammer and go start breaking a mountain. But if Allah tells you to do that, then you must do that. Then don't look at the size of the mountain and give up before you even start. Then your job is to take the mountain and go and start hitting. And when you feel you can't do it, then say, مَا لَا طَاقَةَ لَنَا بِهِ. Oh Allah, I don't have the power to break this huge mountain. You help me now. And then the help of Allah will come. But before you even start and just got scared of the size, and then you're asking for help, help will not come. Help will come when you obey the order and start doing it. And you gave up because your body does not have that much power. This is the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send His help and He will take you out of that difficulty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about these mountains. لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. Had we revealed this Quran on a mountain, huge body, mountain, stone, rock hard. Had we sent Quran on mountain, La Ra'aytahu, you would have definitely seen خَاشِعًا مُتَصَدِّعًا مِّنْ خَشْيَةِ اللَّهِ, that it has bowed down and broken into pieces because of the fear of Allah. What does this tell you? This tells you that the size, the hugeness, the strength, the hardness of mountain is nothing according to Allah. It's tiny, it's minute, it's too small, it has no value. It's not considered as strength in the sight of Allah. The kalam of Allah is so heavy that when, if it come on the mountain, mountain would bow down and would be crushed into pieces. So there are things that we regard them as to be big and huge. Misal dete hain Urdu mein, wo chatan ki tarah khada ho gaya. You know, he stood like a mountain. So when you want to give an example of a bravery, courage, guts, you say he stood like rock, he stood like stone, he stood like mountain. But we see now, according to Allah, that mountain is nothing. And then we look at the hugeness of the oceans and we get surprised and we are amazed. We see so much water. Nobody can even measure how many liters are there. I don't think anybody can really do that. It's just unimaginable, you know, how much water it is. They try to do some measurement here and there, the depth, and to some extent they do, but when they go very far away, they don't know. Now this huge size, according to Allah, how huge it is, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لَوْ كَانَ الْبَحْرُ مِدَادًا لِكَلِمَاتِ رَبِّي لَنَفِدَ الْبَحْرُ قَبْلَ أَن تَنْفَدَ كَلِمَاتُ رَبِّي. Say you, O beloved. See, this is the language of Quran, and this is the best translation that Ala Hazrat has done. Ala Hazrat, don't say that, say, the reader doesn't even know who must say. And Ala Hazrat will always say, Ay Habib, aap farma dijiye. That tells you immediately that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His beloved Nabi so much that He puts the beautiful words for His beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is befitting to His station. That's why the best translation is the translation of Ala Hazrat. No other translation will teach you the adab and the respect. قُلْ كَهْكَ اَپْنِي بَاتْ بِي مُوْ سَي تَرَي سُنِي اللَّهَ کو ہے تیری اتنی گفتگو پسند. Allah loves your word so much that even when He wants to say something, He says to you, O beloved, you must say. Ay Habib, aap kahiye. Halanki baat Allah ki hai. It's the word of Allah, but Allah wants His beloved to say, O beloved, you say. So, you say, O beloved. If the oceans become ink, then the ocean will come to an end, but the words of your Lord will not come to an end. Ab Allah ke kalme, the words of Allah are so many, so huge, that if all these mountains, all these oceans become ink, and then in other examples also given that all the trees become pens, and then those pens write with that ink, all the trees will finish and all the water of all the oceans will finish, but the praises and the words of Allah will not finish. So that means in the sight of Allah, in comparison to the kalimat and the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the oceans are nothing. They're not huge. They're not big as you and I see. And then besides that, you see the whole world. You see the earth. Actually, there are seven earths. But earths are not separated the way skies are separated from each other. There is distance from one sky to another sky. Seven earths are like the layers of onions. You know, layers of onions, one after the other. So it's a one piece, but they do have separate entity as well. So this is how the seven earths are. So a lot of the time in Quran Kareem, the earth is called as singular, not as plural. Because if you look at its togetherness, it's a one piece. But in reality, it does have separate, you know, entities, but they are joined layers to each other, so they are seven. It's proven from Ahadith Mubarakah. And the skies are seven, and seven skies are mentioned very clearly in Quran and Kareem at many places. And then the first sky is the one that is decorated. Others are not decorated. You know, these stars and the sun and the moon and galaxies, what you see, the decoration is for the first sky, not for the other six. And in this decoration of the first sky, the solar system, the planets, the galaxies, the suns, not one sun, but the suns, the moons, this is our galaxy, this is our sun, this is our solar system, these are our planets, the one that we count as. But there are thousands, even say millions of others. So who can really measure this huge universe? Now all these mountains and all these oceans and all these solar systems and the suns and the moons and the stars and the galaxies, and one is like, you know, millions of miles of light away from each other. Can you imagine how huge this universe, this world is? But in the sight of Allah, how huge is it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Quran Kareem, قُلْ مَتَاعُ الدُّنْيَا قَلِيلٌ. O beloved, say to them that the goods of this dunya is little. Ye jisko hum itna bada maan ke baithe hue the na, hairan ho rahe the, are itne noor ke saalon ka safar ek se dusri suraj aur galaxy ke mabain. But according to Allah, it's nothing. It's qaleel, qaleel, small, that's little. And qaleel comes opposite azim. Kaseer, azim. They all are the oppositions of qaleel. Qaleel, little. Azim, great. Kaseer, a lot. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the character of beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, إِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَزِيمٍ. O beloved, your khulq, your character is azim, great. And how great it is, only Allah knows, you and I cannot know. Hum to sirf wo tarjuma hi kar sakte hain, but its real reality only Allah knows. How great is the character of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we understand that deen is big, not dunya. Because all these things, dunya. Okay, people are rich in this dunya. They're multi-millionaires. They got a lot of dollars. They got a lot of pounds. They got a lot of rents. They got properties. And when we talk about them, you know, our mouth starts watering. Although we're not going to get a cent out of them. But somehow, hearts are attached with wealth, with money, with people. And they're like center of our discussions and stories. And we admire them. You know, our heart is like pulled towards them. Our heart won't be pulled so much towards the ulama and the scholars. And we also understand that the people who are deendar, people who have deen, you will find them, they're always respecting ulama. They're always respecting mashayikh, pious people. You will see them, they have that natural tendency. If they see alim, alim deen, because they know this person got deen, or I'll learn something from him of deen. He'll tell me something of Quran and Hadith, or he'll teach me some sunnah to some masla masail. So you will see that the people that are deendar, they'll be running towards him. They want to sit with him. They want to spend time with him. And then on the other hand, you will see that people, the group of people that, as I said earlier, they will only admire people of money. And if they can get chance to wash their feet and drink that water, they will do that. Yes. Tomorrow they can tell the story, oh, with so and so, you know, rich man, multi-millionaire, I used to rub my shoulders. What are you going to get? According to Allah, that whole world is nothing. And according to one hadith mubarakah, that is, if this world, money, wealth, resources that you boast about, if all this had value in the sight of Allah, equal to the wing of mosquito. I'm breaking down these words to make it easy for you to understand. That if all this wealth of this dunya had value equal to the wing of mosquito in the sight of Allah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have given rizq to kafir. Why does he give rizq to kafir? Because this worldly resources does not have value in the sight of Allah. So don't look for money if you want to become murid of some pious person. Well, a lot of people, they become bayat so their financial situation can come right. Karobar achcha chal padega. More money will come. And if one murid makes khidmat of peer sahab, and if coincidentally becomes rich, then everyone takes that person as an example and they want to be murid of that peer sahab, and everybody's focus is on those riches. Ke wo falane khidmat ki bada ameer ho gaya, main bhi khidmat karunga, main bhi bada ameer ho jaunga. Are ye peeri muridi, ye deen ruhaniyat mein bhi duniya leke aa gaye ho. At least be sincere at some stage. Your taking bayat should be based for the benefit of akhirah. So you can die with iman. The peer of murshid can help you to prepare for the hereafter. So therefore, the deendar will respect the people who are in deen. That's the pehchan and that is the identity. And as far as our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam character is concerned. Why I chose this topic? Because we have become very selfish. We break ties with each other very easily. We get angry for our nafs. We want to take revenge. We stay angry for years with each other. Relatives, cousins, brothers, sisters, husband, wife. Absolutely slaves of nafs, carnal desires. Brothers don't talk to brothers, sisters don't talk to sisters, father, son, they don't talk to each other, husband's wife, they don't talk to each other, for nafs, just for nafs, because he said this and she said this, and I got hurt, therefore, for lifetime, they're no more friends, For lifetime, they got no love for each other. For lifetime, they're trying every opportunity that they can get to insult and hurt each other. Is that not happening? So we are gone far away from the akhlaq of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this would also tell you that Islam did not spread by the force of sword. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Muslims never used force to spread Islam. This is a false allegation that people use against Muslims, that Islam was spread by the force of sword. That those who became Muslims first, which sword was used on them? Okay, let's start from the beginning. All these Sahaba ikram who became Muslims, which sword was used on them? And then what kind of sword it is that after they became Muslim, they became the best preacher of the very same deen of Islam which was given to them by the force of sword. Is that possible? If a deen was given to someone by the force of sword, as soon as the sword is away, they will leave the deen. But these were people who were given Islam and they went right, left and the center of this whole earth, and they spread Islam and they became muballighin and the preachers of Islam. So the people who are going around all over the world and spreading Islam, the question is, and that's the big question, that which sword worked on them that they have become so passionate and loving, they would die and live for this cause to spread the deen of Islam. They became muballighs of Islam. Awliya Allah, they went all over the world, they spread the deen of Islam. All Indian Muslims, they became Muslims because of some muballighin came to spread Islam. Hazrat Khaja Muinuddin Chishti Ajmeri radiallahu ta'ala anhu, a person responsible to bring 9 million idol worshippers into the fold of Islam. Which sword did he use? Second biggest population of Muslims in India. And who forced him to become Muslim and go and do that? Yes, there was one sword. There was one sword right up to Sahaba Ikram until today. And that is actually attacking on the hearts. And that sword is the beautiful character of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the sword of the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the sword of the sound reasonings of the deen of Islam. That's the sword of answers that Islam gives to every problem. That's the sword. You can ask any question, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jal, there is answer in the deen of Islam. Now if I am unable to answer, it's my weakness. If another Maulana is unable to answer, that's his weakness. This does not mean that Islam is weak. Alhamdulillah, you will find answer and solution for every problem in the deen of Islam. So Alhamdulillah, we are on that beautiful deen. And one hadith I would quote and then I will end. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is what we need to practice on, sil man qata'aka wa'fu amman zalamaka. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the one who cuts off with you, one who breaks ties with you, join him. He doesn't want to be your friend anymore. He doesn't want to be your relative anymore. And if you say now tit for tat, he does this to me, I'll do the same. Rather, people will say, if he smacks me one, I'll smack him twice. This is how most of us have become. And remember, justice will be done. If someone smacked you once and you smacked him twice, don't think that the second smack would be forgiven. No, you'll be caught for that on the day of judgment. There will be hisab kitab. You were only allowed to do equal to the injustice that was done to you, not more than that. But you have done more than that, you'll be caught and you'll be punished. And the punish of akhirat, nobody can bear, even for a split second. Even for a split second. Don't ever think, I'll see what happens. You can't take it. If it starts right from the grave, you can't take it. Because the scorpions and the snakes that are appointed to punish the people who are zalim and unjust and disobedient, their poison is so strong that if they bite on the ground, the grass will never grow on the earth till the day of Qiyamah. The poison would be so strong. You think you can bear it? So you can't do injustice. You can't be unfair with people. You can't mistreat them. You can't insult them. You can't make them scared of your presence. You cannot threat them. You cannot even look at them with a style that you are causing, you know, terror in them. Staring at them to cause fear in them. All that sort is not allowed. That has got nothing to do with the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is the character of jahils. Muslims and mafias. Muslims and gangsters. Muslims and hooligans. That doesn't belong to the deen of Islam. Deen of Islam came to destroy all that. Where have Muslims have accepted these kind of conducts and behaviors? When another Muslim comes to you, he should find that he's in peace. He should not change his street because he sees you coming on that street, because he feels unsafe. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-Muslimu man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. A true Muslim is that from whose tongue and from whose hand other Muslims are protected. Not other Muslims are hurt. We are using tongue to hurt other Muslims. We are using hands to hurt other Muslims. Whereas Allah has given you tongue to protect other Muslims. Allah has given you hand to protect other Muslims. You've gone far away from the character, the best akhlaq of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Today we want to find respect. Look at Hazrat Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Such a great person, Khalifa, that even, you know, Kaisar of Kisra, the king, Roman Empire and the Iranian Empire, the kings would get scared and shiver when they talk about him and take his name. And one day when he was going to the masjid at the time of Sahri, by mistake his foot fell on somebody's foot. Paon pe paon aa gaya. And that person didn't know who this person is. It was dark. He said, are you blind? He said, no, I'm not blind. I made a mistake. Please forgive me. So that is Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Do we ask forgiveness from people? Do we apologize? There are a lot of people in our society, they feel they are perfect. They feel they are born perfect. They never apologize. They do wrong, they hurt, but they still expect other person to come and apologize. Where did Hazrat Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala anhu learn his deen? Where did he learn his character? How did he change? And how much did he change? this incident will tell you that how much he changed. He said, no, I'm not blind. I made a mistake. I hurt you. Please forgive me. Model is my Nabi. Model is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Anything that contradicts with the style of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whether it comes from your father, or whether it comes from your peer sahab, or whether it comes from your teacher, or whether it comes from your great-grandfather, one side. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, first. If we develop that kind of attitude and that kind of mindset, inshallah azza wa jal, we will be successful as a nation and as individuals in this dunya and in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us firm on the deen of Islam. Ameen bi jahin nabi al-ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.